الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a very special name, Al-Malik. Al-Malik means the owner, the master. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our Malik, which means that we are the abd of Allah. We are the servants, the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a very important identity that we need to remind ourselves of, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our Malik and we are the Abd of Allah. More than any other identity, any other aspect of a personality, first and foremost aspect is that we are the Abd of Allah, the servants, the slaves, the absolute slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what a relationship is between a master, Malik. Malik is one who owns, he's the owner, he's the possessor. And in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that Allah says that I've purchased the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has purchased the believers. So we are sole property. We should view that we are sole property. So I cannot look in that particular direction. I can't do that. I can't go there. I can't do it. I'm sold. I'm sold because I'm sold myself. And who is my owner, my buyer? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bought me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has purchased me. And I'm sold. And now that I'm sold, I cannot do anything of my own wish. We are slaves. We have to view ourselves like that. And this is not some kind of oppressive or brutal slavery, because this is not that type of a transatlantic slavery that you read about in the books. The Deen of Islam, when it came, it ended slavery. But this relationship, which is the Abd and Malik relationship, if you think about this, and if you go back to that slavery, if you were to look at a parallel when there were slavery among humans, what was that Abd and Malik relationship? The slave used to live for their master. The be-all and end-all of their life was their master. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is choosing this word for us, that for Iman, to liberate yourself from the shackles and chains of this world, but you are the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And contrary to what people think, this being a slave to Allah is not a chain, it's not a restriction. It's not a rigid and difficult and hard and stern. This is the greatest maqam that any person can get, to be the abd of Allah, the slave of Allah. An example of this is the Prophet ﷺ. In the kalma, we recite, Ashadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. First, we testify to the abdiyat, the ubudiyat, the slavery of the Prophet ﷺ, that the Prophet ﷺ is a slave of Allah, abd of Allah. And then wa rasuluh, that the Prophet ﷺ is the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a slavery of love. The deeper you fall in love, the more ardent a slave you become. Like Majnun and Layla. Right? Majnun, he would never say that, Layla, I couldn't remember you today, I was busy. Or that I don't know, maybe I had an exam. So that's the example, that's the word that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using for us. It's an identity. That more than I'm an American or a Canadian or a Pakistani or a Hanafi or a Sufi, or much more than all of those identities, is that I'm an abd of Allah. I'm a servant and a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is my malik. He is my master, my owner. Because this identity is something that all of us can carry. In Quran, Allah mentions that وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that I've not created jinn or human beings, except humanity itself is not created for nothing but ubudiyat of Allah, لِيَعْبُدُونَ, ubudiyah. Ubudiyah, it's an identity. We are supposed to view ourselves as an abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 24/7. We're not created just for ibadah, because you cannot do worship for 24 hours. We're created for ubudiyah, to embrace this role of being the abd, the servant, slave of Allah, and to view Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as our malik, as our owner, to form this relationship with Allah. This is why we were sent. This is the relationship that we have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our greatest dilemma and deception is that we have forgotten this relationship. We have forgotten our core human attributes. We don't view ourselves as the servant and slave of Allah. We don't view Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be our owner, our master. And you know, Mulana Rum Rahmatullah Alayh and others, they have coined these stories about Ayaz. Ayaz was a person who, the stories of Sultan Mahmud and Ayaz. Sultan Mahmud was the king, and Ayaz was a village youth. And Ayaz was a, you can say, the servant of the king, in the khidmat of the king. And the king used to consult with the king. And the other courtiers, they were jealous of Ayaz, because they couldn't understand why Ayaz was so close to the king. So they were always trying to think of ways to embarrass Ayaz. Once they asked the king that, why does he favor Ayaz so much? But the next day the king got a fruit that was very bitter and gave it to everyone. And all the courtiers, they said that this is very bitter. And Ayaz was eating this fruit, mashallah, and smiling. So the king asked Ayaz, isn't this fruit bitter? He said, it is bitter. And the king asked him, why are you eating? So Ayaz said that, I was thinking that the king has always fed me sweet fruits. Now, if he has given me a bitter fruit, why should I complain? And the king said, this is the quality that Ayaz has. He respects the hukum of his master. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our master. Allah ta'ala is our malik. Allah ta'ala gives us so many beautiful things in our life. And if Allah ta'ala tests us with some disease or some other trial, then we should not complain. This ayaz was unread. He was illiterate, but he understood. He had this quality. He had this quality that he viewed himself as an abd, and he viewed his king as his malik, and he respected the hukum of his malik. Once the courtiers, they went against Ayaz, and they said that Ayaz, He has a closet, and they mention this to the king, that he has a closet and he opens it every day in privacy, and he looks at what's inside, and he doesn't even let anyone else see it, nor does he give the keys of that closet to anyone. So we are thinking that Ayaz has stolen something from your treasure, and he looks at it. So the king, he asked Ayaz if he had a closet, and Ayaz said yes. King said that give me the keys there and then. So the king, he gave the keys. So then king gave the keys to the courtiers and said that go bring everything from the closet. So the viziers and the courtiers, they went, and they were thinking that now finally Ayaz will be humiliated. But when he came back, when they came back with an old pair of clothes and some shoes. That is all that was there in the closet. And the king asked that, why is this? And then Ayaz explained that, oh king, the first day I came to you, I was wearing these. And then you made me a close friend of yours. And I've kept this stuff to constantly remind me of my real stature, my awqat. I look at this each day and I think to myself that Ayaz, this is your reality. All that you have other than this is just a gift. It's a gift from the king. It's a gift from the Malik. So we should also view the name of the fellow like this, that Allah is our Malik. Allah's Father has given us these ni'mat. Did we bring anything to this world? Nothing. When we came, we were empty. We didn't have these clothes to wear, house to live in, children, intelligence. Whatever has been granted to us has been given to us by our Malik. It's from Allah's Father. Once the king, he decided to test the intelligence of the courtiers. So he brought a large diamond from his treasure, along with a big hammer, and announced that today I'm going to test your intelligence. And he gave them to the first person and asked him to break the diamond. That person refused to break it, said that this is a valuable diamond. How can we break it? So the diamond went from hand to hand. Each one of them refused until it finally reached Ayaz. Ayaz, he put that diamond on the floor and he took the hammer and he struck that diamond so hard with the hammer that it broke into small pieces. Everyone was angry at Ayaz. He was so stupid. He's so dumb that he made such a huge loss for the king. Then the king asked Ayaz, that Ayaz, why did you break this diamond? And Ayaz said that, okay, I had two options. Either I could have broken this diamond and I could have followed your command, or I would have broken your command and saved the diamond. So I broke the diamond, but I saved your command. I obeyed your command because your command was more valuable in my eyes than this diamond. This diamond was less valuable in my eyes than your command. So we should also have this sense of obligation to our master, just like Ayaz had. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our master. Allah ta'ala is our Malik. And you should understand that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our Malik, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever happens, happens according to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A mu'min's heart should have this azmat of Allah ta'ala. A mu'min by definition is one who submits to the will of Allah, to the decree of their Malik, one who surrenders, one who bows down to the will of Allah, one who says that from today, my will, my desire, it ends. My actions now will be according to the will of my Malik. That's why the Prophet says, we have to take this pledge from the Sahaba, wasma'u wa'ati'u, listen and obey. Listen and obey. In the beginning, one feels that this is a very ordinary thing. But if you think about this on your own, it's a very important command to listen and to obey. This is not the quality that every person has. There's so many of us, we listen, but we don't obey. This is the command of Allah, right? When Allah says, don't consume interest, don't look, lower your gaze. How many of us are able to do this? We listen, but we don't obey. So we should listen with the intention of obeying. The real thing is to obey. How much we obey Allah. And we can only obey Allah's Father when we have that azmat of Allah in our heart. That Allah is my Malik, and this is the hukum, the command of my Malik. That's why we need to talk about this over and over again. Give you an example. If a husband says that this is my house and my orders will be obeyed here, and if you don't like this, then go back. He says to his son, then leave my house. Husband says that. The father says that. Because he is in that house. If the father can say that to his son, then we are so weak. We are dependent. And sometimes we cannot bear to hear that sentence. Allah Subhanahu is Allah. Allah is our creator. Allah Ta'ala is our Malik. Allah has given us everything. So imagine if someone goes against the command of Allah, then what will be the fate of that person? If a father cannot listen to this disobedience of his son, then Allah Subhanahu is Allah, the rank, the stature of Allah. How can a person, how can a servant, how can a slave disobey their Malik, Allah Subhanahu Ta'ala? And if a sweeper goes against the king, what would be the fate of that person? We don't even compare like that. Sweeper has a comparison to that king. Allah's father is much higher than that comparison. We are makhluk. We are abd. We are weak. So we should revive this identity, view this identity, live this identity of being an abd of Allah. And abd means we obey, we listen, we obey. We listen, we obey. We should consider the hukum, the command of Allah, to be superior than everything else. Just like ayahs. That the command of Allah is superior to everything else. What happens is, once Maulana Rum Rahmatullah mentioned another story about ayahs, that ayahs, he shows up at the palace. And someone asks, the king asks him, what's your name? And he says to the king that whatever you call me, that is my name. Then the king asks him, what do you do? Whatever you tell me, I'll do that. What will you wear? Whatever dress you give me, I'm going to wear that. What will you eat? Whatever you ask me to eat, I'll eat that. This is abd. This is servant. This is slave. And the purpose of this poetry, this parable, was to explain ubudiyat. We have to be as perfect a slave as Ayaz was to his king. This is Allah's Father in Quran. Allah mentions the story of, Allah gives the example of horses, people riding horses in Surah Adiyat. And these horses are willing to go into the battlefield. They're willing to go into the battlefield. They're willing to, the horse get hurts. The horse steps on something, the horse get hurts. But the horse doesn't say that I will stop. The horse continues because he knows that the master is riding me and the master wants me to continue. It's complete servitude. Allah's teaching us examples in after examples in the Quran. That if you want to learn what servitude, what ubudiyat is, look at these horses. We have made these horses for you. You're riding these horses. You're going to the battlefield. And you are the master of these horses, but look how loyal these horses are to you. horses are more loyal to their masters than we are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designed the whole world to be subservient to humanity so that we can know what subservience is, what loyalty is. We are less loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than a horse is loyal to their master. We are less loyal to Allah ta'ala than a dog is loyal to their master. This is Bulle Shah. Bulle Shah is a very famous poet. He gave an example of a dog. They look at the dog, the master beats the dog, throws a shoe at the dog, but still that dog comes back to the master. The dog sleeps anywhere. No one gives him a bed. Still the dog comes back to that master. In fact, there are about 10 sifat. There are 10 sifat, 10 attributes that a dog has. Hazrat Hasan Basri Rahmatullah has mentioned that there are 10 qualities that a dog has. If a person, a human being, was to have even one of those 10 qualities, that human would become the wali, the friend of Allah Ta'ala. Now listen to these 10 qualities that a dog has. Number one, a dog has qana'at, which means that he can live on less. Whatever he gets, he takes it, he is pleased with it. This is the sign of sabirin. Then number two, the dog many times it remains hungry. This is the sign of salihin, pious. Three, a dog, when another dog tries to take territory and overpowers this dog, so this dog leaves its own territory and goes somewhere else. This is the sign of raziyin, those who are razi, content. Number four, if the malik, if the master hits the dog never leaves the door of his master, always comes back. This is the sign of sadiqin. Then if the malik is sitting and eating food, the dog is next to the malik, the dog has the ability to snatch that food away from the malik, but still the dog doesn't do anything. He doesn't snatch that food, doesn't take that food away. This is the sign of miskeen. Number six, when the malik enters home, so the dog goes far away and sits and at the shoes of the malik, sits at a place which is lowly. This is a sign of mutawazi'in, one who are humble. And number seven, if the malik hits the dog for some time goes away, but then after some time again it returns back to the malik. Returns back to the malik, the dog is not upset with the malik. This is the sign of khashi'in, khushu. And number eight, that the dog hasn't made any house for himself in this dunya. He lives where he is, no house, no home. This is the sign of mutawakkilin, those who have tawakkul. Number nine, the dog sleeps at night, but only a little. Sleeps at night, but only a little. This is the sign of muhibbin. And last one, when the dog dies, it doesn't leave any inheritance. This is the sign of zahidin. Now, if you reflect on this, what Hazrat Hasan Basri Rahmatullah has mentioned, again, it's a story to show us, to teach us what abdiyat, what ubudiyat is. The dog has so many attributes, and each one of them is an attribute of a friend, of a wali of Allah Ta'ala. And if you don't have these attributes, even one of them within us, then perhaps these dogs are more loyal to their master than us. These dogs are better than us. So we have forgotten our identity. This is a core, we are core servants of Allah Ta'ala. We think that I'm an MBA, I'm a PhD student. This worldly little incidental duty, these are just a duty that we have. It's just the needs of living in this world, earning the world, Earning the world should be like you relieve yourself in the washroom. It's a responsibility. It's not the hustle part. It's an unpleasant part of my life that we have to go through. Right? It's an unpleasant part of my life that we have to go through. A real identity is to be the core servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, earning the world, if you do it for the sake of Allah, then that also becomes, if you do it for the sake of Allah ta'ala, that also becomes ibadah. Al-Kasibu Habibullah. Right? A person who does it with the right intention, then that also becomes ibadah. For we cannot make this the primary identity over and above being an abd of Allah ta'ala. This interaction with the dunya that we have, it's a part of being in the world. It's a duty, a responsibility. That's not the asl, that's not the goal, that's not the purpose. The goal, the purpose is ubudiyat. How can I become a better abd of Allah? Planning our ubudiyah. We start our college, we end our college. 4 years pass by, we don't even think about ubudiyah, even once. We're thinking about making this advancement in our studies. I'll take this course, I'll take that course, and I'm going to take this credential, then I'm going to take this degree, then I'm going to increase my, I'm going to get this experience, this professional experience, this extracurricular activity, part of the society. We're thinking about our progress in those 4 years at college. And we end college, we think we have made some progress. We should be thinking about 4 years of progress as an abd of Allah ta'ala. 4 years of progress as a servant of Allah. We don't think like that. When we think about progress, our idea is just in terms of the dunya. People graduate from dunya, they think about their job. I'm an accountant, I'm an assistant accountant, a director, then CEO, right? Junior financial officer, chief officer, vice president, president. It's a never-ending goal. And if I tell someone that none of that is going to happen, if you graduate, you will not progress, no promotion, nothing for the next 10 years. You're going to say that I'm crazy. That's not possible. I have to advance. I have to progress. But if I say that the amount of Quran you knew when you entered college will be the same Quran you knew when you graduate, I'll say no problem. I'll say that the meaning of one surah, when you entered college, you knew the meaning of one surah. When you graduated from college, you still know the meaning of one surah only. I'll say no problem. I'll ask you that you know the meaning of 10 names of Allah before you entered college. When you graduate from college, you still know the meaning of 10 names of Allah. I'll say no problem. We're so caught up in the dunya. And the reason why we're caught up in the dunya, there are two enemies, two things which are stopping us from being an abd of Allah ta'ala. One is the dunya. One is the dunya, the muhabbat of the dunya. And the second is this secularism, right? That person, that you don't need Allah ta'ala. It's an ideology, right? It's secular humanism that you can separate Allah ta'ala from your life and you can still be a good Muslim, right? This is a very big problem in our ummah. This is the greatest honor that we had, to be the slave of Allah, to have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as our Malik. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he would say that Allah, there is no greater izzat for me than the fact that you are my Malik and I'm your abd. Our Allah, our Malik is Rahman and Rahim. Our Malik is Allah ta'ala. Our Malik is saying in the Quran that I love you. We need to learn to answer that, Allah, I love you too. This is the greatest honor that we have, to make ourselves the slaves of Allah. When a person makes themselves the slaves of Allah in the true sense of that word, that results in our exaltation. That results in our spiritual elevation. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said in the Sahih Hadith that man tawaza'a lillah rafa'ahu Allah. That that person who lowers themselves for the sake of Allah, humbles themselves before Allah, rafa'ahu Allah, Allah raises them up. This ubudiyat is our crown. It's an honor to be the abd of Allah. But again, if you look at the Muslim, the average Muslim, they don't walk and talk and act and view themselves as an abd of Allah. they're willing to break the commands of Allah at the drop of a hat. A little bit of sleep and we miss our Fajr. In the name of being a good colleague, he will look at the woman right in the eye. Right? Yes, no, right in the eye. Even in the Quran, it's one of the most easy verses to understand in the Quran. Even the English translation is so easy that control your gaze, lower your gaze. It's crystal clear, no difference of opinion about that in the Ummah. But that person won't be able to do it. Why? Because he's not a slave. Because he's not a slave to Allah. And in fact, many of us, we become slave to our nafs then. Instead of Allah Ta'ala becoming our master, we make nafs our master. And the nafs becomes our master, and nafs commands us. And we become the abd, the servant of our nafs, the slave of our nafs. That's what Allah is saying in the Quran as well. That don't you gaze in astonishment and wonder at that person who has taken their own whims, their wishes, their desires, their fantasies as their ilah, as their god? This is real shirk. Even in English we say this, that he is a slave to his desires, right? A slave to his desires. And when a person becomes slave to their desires, to their nafs, this is nafs-e ammara, then what does this nafs command a person to do? The nafs al-ammaratun bisu commands a person to sin, to sin. And in the most, this is a big problem in the Muslim Ummah, that how many of us, we have this problem of desires. They can't control their desires. They can't control the desires, whether it's on the net, it's cyber, they can't control it virtual. They can't control it because they're not in abd of Allah. Again, go back to that human master relationship. The slave does not desire anything against the wishes of his master. So Allah SWT has chosen this word, ubudiyat, abd. Allah is our Malik, we are the abd. And all of humanity has been made for this, abd, abd. We need to revive our humanity. And I was mentioning that one of the obstacles is secularism, right? Because for those who are studying in university, they would understand this better, would be able to relate to this better. It's, you know, this happens when very skillfully, in one sentence, what exactly is secularism? It says that all human beings, it has skillfully evolved, right? From separation between church and state to something where religion is taken out from every sphere of life. And finally into a philosophy where nothing is divine. Where they say that, oh human beings, you don't need Allah. You're not abd. You don't need to be the slave of Allah. You don't need to be the servants of Allah. It tries to teach us that you don't need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be good. And, you know, we have this deeply embedded within us. Our morality, our outlook, our temperaments, our characteristics. We have taken Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out. We are living a very different culture, a very different lifestyle, very different attitude. Allah is saying, what happened to you? You had this ubudiyat, laqad kana lakum fi rasulillahi uswatun hasana. You had the Prophet says, so you're supposed to drown yourself in that sunnah. And we drowned ourselves in another thing. We're supposed to drown ourselves in the sunnah, the zahir, the batin. Our deen is full of zahir batin. And it's a delusion. We don't do it because we have stopped being this abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should, number one, understand that this is the need of our time, that we revive this identity, that we view ourselves as the abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we view Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as our Malik. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our Malik, the second point to remember is that Since Allah's father is our Malik, so our gaze should always be fixed on our Malik. Our gaze should always be fixed on our Malik. Just like a child, he has a relationship with his mother. For everything, he looks at his mother. In the same way, a believer, Abd, should have the same taluq with Allah Ta'ala. In every matter of their life, their gaze is on Allah. There, once there was a Allah, some pious person who went someplace, and the person in that house, he brought his child with him to meet that sheikh and to request du'as. So that sheikh, he had some sweet, some toffee or something like that, which he gave to that child, and the child refused to take it. So the sheikh again gave that, but he refused to take it. And this is very ajeeb, because a child by nature, he loves sweet things. There's a temptation, but he was refusing to take it. Then third time when he presented that sweet, the child looked at his father. He was looking at his father. That should I take it or shouldn't, or should I not take it? And then the father said that, oh son, take it. Oh son, take it. Take it from the sheikh. Anyway, when the father gave permission, then the child took that sweet. And at this time, the sheikh, he had tears in his eyes. So the person asked the sheikh, why are you crying? He said that, no, I'm not crying because the child refused to take it from me. I'm crying because I learned a lesson. That this is exactly how Allah's Father wants us to be with Him. That before we do anything, we look at Allah. Allah, should I do it? If Allah gives us the permission, then we should do it. If Allah says no, then we shouldn't do it. What happens is that when we go out, we don't look at Allah. We just do what we want to do. We should do what Allah tells us to do, what Allah wants us to do. So this is the lesson of this name. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our Malik, and our gaze should always be on Allah. Even when things are going difficult in our life, Allah ta'ala is Mughayyirul Ahwal, that being who can change our halat. Sometimes there is sadness, sometimes there is happiness, sickness and health. These halat, these conditions will keep on changing. Allah ta'ala tests us with in different ways. But when these tests they come on us, we should put our gaze on our Malik, on Allah. But here again, we make a mistake. When we are tested, when there is some musibah, some trial comes in our life, we turn away from Allah and we run towards people. We run towards humans. We run towards makhluk. This is our mistake. If that parishani, that musibat, if you turn to Allah's Father, then Allah will set our affairs fine, will set our affairs correct and right. And for explain this message, explain this principle, Allah's Father has sent different Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam in this world. In Quran, Allah mentioned stories about the previous Anbiya alayhi salam. Then when halat came upon them, difficult halat came, they were tested, they were tried, and all of them, the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, they would turn to Allah. Their gaze would be on their Malik. And when their gaze was on their Malik, on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala corrected their affairs. Allah ta'ala gave them najat. Allah ta'ala made everything correct and right for them. So we also have to follow in the footsteps of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Look at the story of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam. That he continued to give dawah for about 1,000 years. 1,000 years giving dawah to his ummah. But this ummah was not able to, none of the people were able to, wanted to accept that message. Only a few people accepted. Very few people. And then when he made a ship, started making fun of that. That, why are you making a ship? So the qawm of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, they refused to accept that message. And there was a gham, there was a sadness in his heart because he was trying so hard. And then eventually, He made dua to Allah Ta'ala. And that dua is mentioned in the Quran. Then Nuh alayhi salam, he made dua to Allah Ta'ala. And then Allah says, we accepted that dua. وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ وَأَهْلَهُ مِنَ الْكَرْبِ الْعَزِيمِ. That when there was a karab, a musibat, a trial, who saved Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, the gaze of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that calamity, in that difficulty. Then after Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, you see the story of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and Sayyidina Harun alayhi salam. Both of them were sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Fir'aun. They gave da'wat to Fir'aun. But Fir'aun also refused. He had so much wealth, such governance, refused. He refused, and not only refused, but went against Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam again turned to Allah ta'ala, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them najat. فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمِّ وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That in this way we listened to their dua, we gave them najat, gave them an exit from the sadness. And this is how we help give najat to the mu'mineen. So if we understand that Allah is our Malik, and if we are in some difficulty, some sadness, some test, trial, musibah, we should understand that only our Malik can save us. And if we do ruju, if we turn to our Malik, then Allah can save us. Allah will save us. There's no need to run to other people. When we run to other people, that's the mistake that we make. We are running away from Allah, running to people. Allah has promised in the Quran that just turn to me. I'm your Malik. I will take care. I'll give you najat from this musibah, this calamity. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam in Quran, Allah's mentioned these stories as well. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, the community in which he used to live in, people used to worship idols. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam was blessed with this Tawheed Khalis. And on one time he broke all the idols. And then when the people came back, they said that Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam would have done this. So then they created this, they set up this big fire. And they lit that fire, and then they placed through Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam in that fire. Now Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he could see that fire, but his gaze was on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the Zat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of us know what happened. That Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam was being thrown inside that fire. At that time, Angel Jibreel, he comes and says that Ibrahim alayhi salam, can I help you? What can I do for you? So the other people, they also say the same sentence to us, right? Can I help you? What can I do for you? So he also came to help. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent Angel Jibreel that if he takes help from you, then help him. But Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, his gaze was so fully fixated on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He simply asked this one question, that does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know my halat? Does Allah know my condition? And the angel said that, yes, Allah knows your condition. Allah sees your condition. And look at the iman, the yaqeen of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. He said that, I don't need your help. I don't need your help. For me, my Allah, my Malik is sufficient. And then Allah Ta'ala helped directly without any sabab, without any intermediary in between. He said, Allah is sufficient for me. My Malik is sufficient for me. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the fire directly. Ya narukuni bardun wa salamun ala Ibrahim. That all fire become cool and peaceful for Ibrahim alayhi salam. We need to have this yaqeen on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our gaze should be on Abdul Malik. And yaqeen, have confidence, have trust on the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inevitably be true for us if we do what we are supposed to do. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam to Fir'aun, at that time Allah ta'ala also said that you both of you should go to Fir'aun. Innani ma'akuma. La takhafa, don't be fearful. Innani ma'akuma, I am with both of you. Asma'u wa ara, I will listen to you. Whatever Fir'aun says, I will listen to that. And whatever he does, I'm watching that. Yani when I will listen and when I will be watching and when I'll be with you, then there's no need for you to be fearful. Why are you fearful? No khawf. This is how a believer is supposed to be with Allah. Allah Ta'ala's promise is with us that whoever obeys Allah Ta'ala stands firm on the commands of Allah. Whoever takes the sanctuary with Allah, puts their gaze on Allah, then Allah is watching us, Allah is listening to us, and Allah is with us. And if Allah is watching us, Allah is with us, and Allah is listening to us, then there's no need for a person to be worried. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving tasalli, consolation to the believers, that they should become pursukoon, they should relax. Your outward, your eyes are seeing things which are making you fearful, but don't worry. Have trust, have confidence on the promises of Allah. This is what iman is, and this is our taluq with Allah Ta'ala Azza wa Malik. And one of the greatest examples of this is the Sunnah, the seerah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet sallallahu, when he made this niyat, this irada for migrating, people tried to stop the Kuffar in Makkah. They make these strategies and plans, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did hifazat of the Prophet sallallahu in so many different ways and ajeeb ways. Allah, but this madad of Allah is also very ajeeb. This help and assistance of Allah is very ajeeb. If we can be regular and be steadfast on the commands of Allah, then whatever hal we might be in, our master, our Rabb, our Malik is with us. Our Malik will help us, and our Malik will take us out from any difficulty that we are in. This is the lesson that we have to learn today. This is the lesson that we have to revise today. This is the lesson that we have to memorize today. We have to make this a pakka lesson for us. That who are we supposed to look at? Our gaze should be at our Malik. We should turn our gaze away from here and there, and we should fix our gaze on our Malik. That whenever times are difficult, only my Malik, my Allah can help me. Only my Allah can give me najat, can rescue me from any type of sadness, sorrow, grief, calamity, test, trial. And Allah Ta'ala has made a few promises with the believers in the Quran. Allah Ta'ala has made a few promises with the believers in the Quran. But those are true believers. Wallahu a'lamu bi'a'daikum. Allah says, I know your enemies better than you do. And I will never give a chance to the unbelievers. وَلَنْ يَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ سَبِيلًا. Will never cause the unbelievers to come over to dominate over the believers. But this will happen if we have this iman that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. So we should try that we make tawbah of the sins that we have done. And we try to please Allah Ta'ala, win over Allah, make Allah razi with us. And when Allah Ta'ala becomes razi with us, and then when Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala intends Allah Ta'ala's help and assistance comes to us, then there's nothing who can do anything wrong to us. Nothing, no one can harm us. Nothing, no one can touch us then. All we need to do is just fix our relationship with Allah Ta'ala. If we fix our relationship with Allah Ta'ala will fix our relationship with other people. If we fix our relationship with Allah will fix our dunya as well. Allah will fix our halat as well. Any three things Allah will fix. Allah will fix our relationship with other people, our relationship with the dunya. Allah will give you the dunya. And Allah will also fix any difficult halat that a person might be going through. It's a one step solution. For us, Allah is sufficient. Just like a child, he just needs to win over his mother. Mother is the guardian. Mother, she is the protector. In the presence of the mother, the child does not need to worry about anything else. He knows my mother, she will take care of all my needs. Any issue, any problem I have, she will remove that. She will solve that for me. Any difficulty, she's going to remove that difficulty. Any pain, any suffering that I'm going through, she's going to give me solace. My mother, she will take care of all my worries, all my needs. In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our Malik. In the presence of our Malik, believer also becomes relaxed in their heart. All I need to do is just have a taluq with Allah, a taluq of love with Allah, fix my taluq with Allah. And then Allah subhanahu will suffice for all my needs, all my planning, all my life. Allah will suffice for me. Allah will guide me. Allah will guide me. Allah will keep guiding me. Allah will keep telling me what to do, what not to do. Any a parent, a father or a mother, they guide their kids. Why? Because they have so much muhabbat for their kids. Allah subhanahu has more muhabbat for us than parents have for us. So when Allah subhanahu ta'ala becomes our guardian, then Allah ta'ala takes care of all these things. Allah doesn't want us to go through those worries. Allah wants that we put those worries on Allah. No parent wants that you take this burden on yourself. They say, beta, give this burden to us. We'll do it for you. We'll help you. We'll assist you. Just tell us what needs to be done and you forget about it. Don't think about it. Right? This, consider this work to be done. We'll do it for you. Why? Because they have muhabbat. If a parent has so much muhabbat for their kids, then Allah, who is our Malik, how much muhabbat Allah has for His servants? That is what Allah's Father is saying to us. That, oh humans, oh human being, I have not given you, oh insan, I have not given these worries that you handle them on your own shoulder. You don't have that zarf. You don't have that ability. You're weak. Khuliqal insanu za'ifa. We have made insan weak. You won't be able to hold that burden on your shoulder. You should just hand that burden to me. Give it to me. Transfer all your worries to me. I will take care. I will give you a solution. I will sort out your affairs. That's what we have to learn to do. And the way to do that is to make tawbah with Allah. Is to do tawbah, is to fix, is to do sulah with Allah, reconcile with Allah. We make tawbah of our sins. We make Allah Ta'ala razi, pleased with us. And then we can get the madad of Allah. وَهُوَ يَتَوَلَّى الصَّالِحِينَ In Quran, Allah says, Allah becomes the guardian of those who are the Salihin. Salihin means that a person abstains from sin and they try to do righteous deeds. Two. Whoever has these two qualities, that they abstain from sins and they try to do righteous deeds, to do as many righteous deeds as they can, they are included in the definition of Salih. And if someone committed a sin or they slipped, and did something which was displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala has kept the door of tawbah open for us. We just need to make tawbah. The tawbah will wipe away that sin, the effect of that sin. It's a very simple way to get the assistance, the madad, the help of Allah. That we live a life of piety. And anytime we sin, we make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this Ramadan, this is an opportunity for us. That we can use this night, we can use this moment to make tawbah to Allah Ta'ala. And through tawbah, we try to make Allah Ta'ala radi with us, that Allah become razi with us. Because when Allah Ta'ala becomes razi with us, then we will have Allah Ta'ala's madad. We'll have Allah Ta'ala's support, help, and assistance with us. And if you have Allah as your guardian, as your helper, then we don't need anyone else. What? There is no difficulty that will remain a difficulty for us then. This is the secret to making this life a small sample of Jannat. Allahu Akbar. So how strange, how ajeeb that we are able to trust other people, but we're not able to trust Allah Ta'ala. We trust other people. Are we not capable of trusting Allah Ta'ala? And if we're able to trust our father, our brother, our uncles very easily, and Allah is saying that, why don't you have that same level of trust in Allah? When Allah is your master, when Allah is your Malik, when Allah is your guardian. One poet, he said this, ke buton se tujhko umeed hai aur khuda se na umeed hai. Mujhe bata to sahi aur kafri kya hai? You have hopes and idols and not in that one being your Malik. So tonight we should repent from all our sins and just hand ourselves over to our Malik, to Allah Ta'ala. Come under the guardianship of Allah. Once we give ourselves up to Allah Ta'ala, then we will see How Allah Ta'ala manages all our affairs. If there is a person whose father is a millionaire and his son goes to someone else asking for a low-paying job, the father will be very, very upset that, oh my son, I own millions and you are suffering this embarrassment and humiliation of asking and begging other people for a small, petty amount of money. This is how you can think. So when a believer, instead of approaching Allah Ta'ala, instead of approaching the infinite treasures of Allah Ta'ala that Allah wishes to give us, we don't go to Allah, we go to people, we go to other things, we go to beings other than Allah Ta'ala. And if we do that, then how would Allah Ta'ala think about us? That what kind of a slave is this person who doesn't even come to me? All he has to do is just come to me, I will solve all his problems. But if only he comes to me, that's how Allah Ta'ala is thinking about this individual. That why isn't he coming to me? I'm his Malik, I'm here to solve everything. Allah has infinite treasures, willing to give everything. But he's going in the other direction, he's going to other people. And imagine if there is a king who really loves his wife and he has provided her with every comfort that the mind can imagine. And then, if a garbage man tries to attract the queen towards him, will the queen pay him any attention? No way. She'll say that on one hand, I have the king. I have every luxury at my disposal. I have the king. I have every comfort at my disposal. I have every blessing with me, every ni'mat. So many servants who work for me. And on the other hand, this garbage man, this garbage person, how dare he even lift his gaze towards me? This is the exact same example which applies to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the king. Allah ta'ala is Al-Malik, king with a capital K. And we are the queens, are the beloved servants of Allah. We are the queens. You can think of it like that, right? We are the queens of Allah Ta'ala's beloved servants and slaves. And Shaitan is like that garbage man. In the presence of Allah Ta'ala, if we choose the ways of Shaitan, if we choose Shaitan, that means that we have chosen that garbage man. We have left the king. Allah is saying, just keep yourself attached to me. And it's very easy to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala our guardian. We just have to repent from our previous sins and make a firm resolution to be pious in the future. And if you falter, then immediately repent. Repent again. We're not angels. We're not free from faults. If we make an error, if we sin, what Allah Ta'ala wants from us is that we immediately seek Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness with shame, with embarrassment. And if we do that, then we'll be counted amongst the abd of Allah Ta'ala. Then Allah will manage all our problems and issues. And I'll just end with one last ayat of the Quran. Allah Ta'ala says very lovingly, "Alaysa Allahu bi kafin abda." That is, Allah Ta'ala not sufficient for his slave? "Alaysa Allahu bi kafin abda." That is, Allah Ta'ala not sufficient for his slave? This is a very beautiful ayat of the Quran. Allah Ta'ala is addressing his slaves and asking them, that is Allah Ta'ala not enough? That, oh my servants, why do you suffer at the hands of others? Why are you surrounded by so many problems? Why don't you have peace? You have declared the oneness of Allah. You have declared the greatness of Allah. Do you not want anything from Allah's treasures? Just leave the ways of sin. Adopt piety and taqwa. Come under my watch. My being is pure. I love those who make their hearts pure. Just clean your heart from sin today, and then witness Allah Ta'ala's blessings as they descend upon you. And surely, this is also a fact that Allah Ta'ala, whoever deserts Allah, and we can make this dua to Allah Ta'ala, that Allah, we know this, we have seen this in the world as well, that we see that no one feeds the neighbor's goat. If there's the neighbor's goat, the neighbor will feed the goat. No one else will feed the neighbor's goat. We have seen this principle being acted on in this world, that nobody is ready to feed even a dog which is not their own. They all expect that the animal will receive his share from his owner, from his master. So, Ya Allah, you are our master, you are our owner. We have been to so many places, we haven't received anything except for hurt and despair. Allah, we are your slaves, we are your servants, we are your abd. Allah, you are our malik. You are our malik, Allah. You will give it to us. Allah, you will give it to us. No one other than you will give it to us. Allah, we are at your doorstep. We are making tawbah of our sins. And we are asking you that, Ya Allah, you give it to us. Allah, you are our Lord. You are our master. You are our owner. Allah, we are your banda. We are your slaves, your abd. Allah, please accept this relationship that we have with you. Allah, give it to us. We are making this tawbah sincerely. And Allah, we ask that you give it to us. Allah Ta'ala is that being who mends these broken ties. And when a person asks Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala for something, you ask 1,000, Allah will give you millions. Allah Ta'ala is our Malik. Allah Ta'ala gives so much. For we have to show that talab to Allah. We have to show that, Allah, we want from you and you alone. Our gaze is, Ya Allah, fixed on you. We're not looking at creation. We're not looking at other people. And the majesty of Allah is such that if someone were to turn away from Allah, he should have been regarded is transgressed. Allah should have blocked the door for him. For Allah Ta'ala is so Rahim and Kareem. Allah, you don't do this. Allah Ta'ala keeps open this door, keeps open the door towards such a person. Allah is always hopeful that maybe the slave will repent. Maybe this person will return back to me. Maybe he will call out to me during the darkest hour of the night. Allah Ta'ala doesn't even sleep. Allah doesn't, because Allah doesn't want the servants to find him unavailable when they approach. Allah is always there, always waiting. That's why, Allah, you are free from slumber as well. You're always ready to accept the du'as of your servants. Allah is such a generous Lord. We should turn to Allah Ta'ala and ask Allah Ta'ala to have mercy upon us, to ease our burdens on this night. We have been hurt a lot. We can't be hurt anymore. And we should also acknowledge that, Allah, we are the ones at fault. We should shoulder that blame, that Allah, we made a mistake. And Allah, we are asking you that please forgive all of our sins. Allah, bless us with a life of taqwa, a life of piety. And it's a shame that we ask anyone else, because Allah, we are your slaves. Allah, how can we present our needs to anyone other than you? When we are your slaves, when we say Iyyaka na'budu, that Allah, we are your abd, we are your slaves, then Allah, we will only ask you and you alone. Iyyaka nasta'in. We are ashamed to ask anyone else, because Allah, we are your slaves, we are yours. Allah, we cannot present our needs to anyone other than you. Allah, we are asking you. We are asking you, Allah, you are our Malik. We are your slave. Allah, we cannot go to anyone other than you. We'll ask only you, and only you will give it to us. Our hearts are connected only to you, Ya Allah. So today, tonight, we should make dua that, oh Allah, please cast your gaze of mercy upon us. We are your sinful slaves. Allah, we ask you that you forgive our sins, and Allah grant us and decree for us a life of taqwa in future. Save us from being wasted away. Save us from falling prey to shaitan in our nafs. Allah, shower us with your grace, your love, your mercy. And Allah, make us those who are pleasing to you. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. سبحان ربي الوهاب، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا كاملا ويقينا صادقا ورزقا واسعا وقلبا خاشعا ولسانا ذاكرا ورزقا حلالا طيبا وتوبة قبل الموت ورحمة عند الموت ومغفرة ورحمة بعد الموت والعفو عند الحساب والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار برحمتك يا عزيز يا غفار. رب زدني علما والحقني بالصالحين. يا رب كريم، يا الله بيك توبة for all of our sins. يا رب كريم، we ask that you accept our توبة tonight. يا رب كريم، يا الله بيك توبة. يا رب كريم، يا الله بيك توبة. اللهم make توبة. يا رب كريم، we have done ظلم on ourselves. يا الله، there's no one who can remove this ظلم except for you. يا رب كريم، we come to you tonight at your doorstep. اللهم we have raised our hands before you. اللهم we're asking you. اللهم شامل us with your مغفرة. يا رب كريم، يا الله forgive us for all of our sins. اللهم accept our توبة tonight. يا رب كريم، accept our توبة tonight. يا رب كريم، accept our ندامة tonight. Accept our shame and guilt tonight. Accept the remorse and regret that we have. Allah, accept us, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah. Allah, don't turn us away from you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, don't return us empty handed. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we have no other door to go to except your door. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we are your abd. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we are your abd. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we haven't been loyal in our relationship with you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we make tawbah of this disloyalty. Allah, we make tawbah of all the sins that we have done in our relationship with you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we haven't done qadr of this relationship. Allah, we haven't esteemed and valued this relationship. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah. Allah, we have fallen short. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah. There are so many inadequacies, so many weaknesses, so many shortcomings within us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we come to you tonight acknowledging everything that we have done, Allah, acknowledging all the sins that we have done. But Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, you are the one who will forgive us. Allah, there is no other being who can forgive us except for you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask that you forgive us. Allah, we ask that you grant us a life of taqwa in the future. Allah, we ask that you grant a glance of rahmah upon all of us tonight. Allah, one gaze of muhabba upon all of us tonight. Ya Rabbi Kareem, one gaze of maghfirah upon all of us tonight. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we have seen in the dunya that a mother, she has so much love for her child. Even when the child soils himself, dirties himself, makes himself impure, the mother understands that he is innocent, that she still loves him, she doesn't throw him away, she doesn't put him away. She cleans him, she purifies him, and she puts him, she gives him new clothes to wear, and she puts fragrance upon him, and she draws him close. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, you gave this example of a mother to show how much love you have for your servants. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we have also soiled ourselves with sins. Ya Rabbi Kareem, when we come to you tonight in Tawbah, Allah, we ask that you wash us with, Allah, wash our hearts, Ya Allah. Clean and purify our hearts, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, accept this ghusl Tawbah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, draw us close to you. Allah, make us feel your closeness in our heart. Make us feel the sweetness of your closeness in our heart. Allah, make us feel the sweetness of your intimacy in our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us your qurb. Grant us the feeling of your qurb. Grant us the sweetness of that feeling of your qurb. Ya Rabbi Kareem, look upon us with a smile once again. Allah, look upon us with a smile once again. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, accept this dua from all of us tonight. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim. Tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.